So we've seen Chazaka numbers of Masechtos each way we turn. It's intriguing and also leaves a lot of open questions. In our own Masechta Gittin Chafes, so we saw that that Chazaka is limited in intriguing ways, that Chazaka does not work. Haggadah Sasidos, Chazaka does not work. And that was both inherently Tzarech Vir, why should Chazaka be limited that way? What's the difference between that present and future? And why is it less than Rov? And then we looked at Kiddush and Daf Pei and Aleph, and there we saw that when it's Neged Rov, Ruben Chazaka, Ruba Adav. According to Chachamim, Chazaka loses to Rov, that the machlokas remain in the Chachamim. And that was the etzem. Gemara said that the shita of Chachamim is based on Yuta command de Lise Dami. The Miyat doesn't exist, which also Tzarech Bir was. I mean, there is a Miyat, there's a Rov, and there's a Miyat. Rov 80% means there's a Miyat of 20%. And once again, we're struck by the fact that in both of these cases, Chazaka is less than Rov. Each one is independently Tzarech Bir, locally Tzarech Bir, and they both speak to the general weakness of Chazaka vis-a-vis Rov, as opposed to Sachem Dav Yudam and Aleph, also quoting a Mishnah in Maseches Taharos, but two parakim later, here, the Ruba Chazak Ruvatav, that was a Mishnah, third parakim of Taharos. As you saw yesterday, the Mishnah, the fifth parakim of Taharos, the famous Mishnah of the Shnei Shvilim. Even the Gemara called it that. Shnei Shvilim. Shnei Shvilim was Chazaka v'makam tarti desastri. Chazaka, a paradoxical Chazaka, a contradictory Chazaka. Remember the case? Reuven walked on road number one, and Shimon walked on road number two. One of those two roads has a mace kavur l'rachvo. One of those two roads has a, there's a mace buried across the width, the entire width of the road. We gave yesterday an example of how that might have happened. Imagine a kavura in a blizzard. It didn't even make it. The two roads from the town to the Beis HaKvaris, and the storm got so heavy that it was dangerous to continue all the way to Beis HaKvaris. They had to make a hasty kvura on the spot and run back to town before any of the living people, Rachman Litzlan, would have perished. And as a result, they know that they buried the mace across the width of one of the roads. They're not even sure which road they were on. The storm was so heavy. So in that case, however the case came to be, the Metzias, I have a Reuven who went down road number one, and Shimon went down road number two. Each one individually has a Cheskas Tahara and may have become Tamei, but the twist is that their two Sveikos are linked. Because it's not just Reuven maybe became Tamei, Shimon maybe became Tamei, but either Reuven or Shimon became Tamei. We know for sure there is a mace in one of those two roads, and Reuven went on one, Shimon on the other. And you remember Tosis had said, Sachem, top of Sachem Davyod, that they are, and on the other hand, they are. On the one hand, they are both, we're going to paskin for both of them, tahar. You remember the Tana of Yosef Yehuda and Machlokas, to what extent do Midrabanan or Imachmir because of the Chucha V'Kvula? To what extent do we say, if they're mamash coming together, so then that's going to sound ridiculous. It's going to lead people who don't appreciate the nuance of Halakha to make fun. Okay, you can't give up socks. It sounds absolutely absurd. So Midrabanan will tell them they're both Tamei if they really come together. Machlokas Yosef Yehuda, you know, on the details of how far do you push that Midrabanan, how many cases does it apply. But if they don't come together, we'll tell each one he's Tahar, and Tosis had stressed, even when they come together, Minat Torah, they're both Tahar. So we'll tell them both you're Tahar, because they each have a Chazak, Cheskas Tahar. And yet, which is already strange and bizarre, how could you give contradictory Piskei Halacha? And all the more so that the previous Tosis, the top Tosis on the Yamad, had stressed, they're not really Tahar. I mean, they are both Safek Tamei. After all, if after the rabbi tells Reuven you're Tahar, the rabbi tells Shimon you're Tahar, they then go and each one shakes the rabbi's hand, the rabbi is not Tamei. So, if they both stick their finger in the same in the same bowl of chocolate chip cookie dough, the chocolate chip cookie dough is now a Rishon LaTumma. So they are each Safek Tame, we recognize that. And yet, we're told that they're both Tahar, but not together. So the whole thing is, once again, each of these three is internally Tzarech Bir. It's surprising that Chazak is limited, does not apply to future prediction. It's surprising that we say Miuta Kamandelei Seidami in Kiddushin. It's shocking that we think that Chazaka Demeikara can work in simultaneously in contradictory ways, in the case of Mishnei Shvilim. And in addition to each sugya being independently, locally, Tzarech Bir, there's also the interesting stira, which is, on the one hand, the first two Gemara seem to indicate that Chazaka is pretty weak. The third Gemara seems to indicate that Chazaka is radically powerful. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? So a number of you, Baruch Hashem, of the course of the morning here, have begun to see a pattern. And I think the pattern will come particularly clear if you go back to think about a fourth feature of Chazaka that we already came across. In this Gemara in Kiddushin, right, we have the case of the, it was a Tina Kanimsa, the Tzara Isa. Remember, that was the Mishnah of Taurus Paragum that we had quoted. That was the original context of the Shaila of Ruba Chazak and Ruba Adev. Why? What was the robe in that case? The robe kids touch tummy things. That's not necessarily true anymore, because we no longer have Nevela and dead mice floating around our homes, Baruch Hashem. But at a time in human, it's still true that most little kids like to touch lots of things. And at a time in human history when the things that were around for kids to touch at eye level were Avos HaTumah, and if you have Nevelos and Shrutzim floating around your house, and even just in the Ashpa, in the garbage heap, but the kids will probably get there at some point and stick their hands in and play with the dead mice and the dead carcasses, and touch all these Avos HaTumah, and thereby the kid is probably a Rishon LaTumah, and therefore the dough that he clearly touched, as Rashi puts it, is probably a Shein LaTumah. Right, good. On the other hand, what's a Chazaka?
It was Tavar 5 minutes.
What was Tavar 5 minutes ago? The dough, right? I was making the dough, my wife was making dough, my brother, my sister, whoever it was, there was an adult making the dough who would be Machben on Tahara. We made sure that the dough was tar. Until 5 minutes ago, the dough was tar. 5 minutes ago, the adult in the room left the room, and the child in the room was a child. And now we're not sure if the dough is still tar or the dough is tamay. So the Chacham say, what does the Chacham say? Tame. Why? Rav. And what does Rameir say? Tar. Chazak, right? And the Gemara says, even the Chacham who say Tameh, aye, but there's a Chazakah. So the answer is, there is a Chazakah, but Ruba v'Chazakah, Ruba Adev, right? Rov is stronger than Chazakah. So let's think about that for a moment. Everyone agrees that there's a Chazakah, right? Everyone agrees that there's a Chazakah. It's just that the Chacham would say, but the Rov is more powerful, right? But let's say there was no Rov. Let's say you had a kid, a little bit older, at an age where it's 50-50. He's no longer a three-year-old, he's a couple years older, now it's 50-50 at his age, whether he would be mitapeach or not. There is no rule. So what should the din be? The dough is? Tah. Why? Based on? Chazaka of? The dough was tar 5 minutes ago. Can you think about that for a moment? What's the shaila, though? Where's the practical shaila is this dough tahar tam? And this dough has a cheskes tahar. I know the dough is tahar 5 minutes ago. I'm not sure if it's still tahar. Okay. So the practical, the presenting problem, the practical shaila l'maisa is on the dough. But what's the shorash ha-safik? The shorash ha-safik is where has this kid been since the last time he or she went to mikvah? Which may have been the last, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, I don't know. Birth. Who knows? The kid may never have gone to mikvah. But since the last time they went to mikveh, what has he touched an avatama? So we're saying if there was no row, we would pass in that shaila based on a chazaka, based on a chazaka of the isa. That's very strange. That's very strange. The chazaka the chazaka based on the fact that 5 minutes ago the door was tar. I know that 5 minutes ago the door was tar. But the shaila is not really about the suffix, I should say. The shorash ha-suffix is not, you know, about the dough. I know that the dough was tahor 5 minutes ago, and I know the last 5 minutes, the way Rashi presents it, I know the last 5 minutes, the child touched the dough. There's nothing in the history of the dough that's unknown. The doubt, the lack of, the gap in our knowledge has nothing to do with the dough. It has everything to do with the kid. Where has the kid been the last week, month, year? So, you would paskin a shayla about a suffix about the kid based on the chazaka about the dough? Ma'an yishmeite yitzar sinai. If you told me the kid is becheskas tahara, then maybe in the last 5 minutes he touched something and became tamay. That I understand. The child is becheskas tahara. I'm not sure if he became tamay or not. I'm not sure if he touched it that with tamay. That I would understand. But if the shorash asafik is on the child, what is the chazak on the dough? Help me. Very strange. No? You hear the problem? My suffix is really not about the dough. I know what happened to the dough. The dough was tar, and the kid touched it. The shayla is, what's the kid's status? So how does the fact that the dough used to be tar, how does it help me if the suffix isn't about the dough? The suffix is about the kid. What do you say?
Because you don't really care what the kid is. The kid is an object of suffix tuma that touched the dough. So the question is, the dough was touched by suffix tumas, therefore is the dough touched by the dough.
Right, I'm sure you don't mean that in a dehumanizing fashion, of course. But yes, it's true that the Shiloh Lamais is about the dough, and the kid, we love the child dearly, but right, as our Shiloh, you're right, we're not asking a Shiloh about the child. Right? We're asking a Shiloh about the dough, and with reference to the dough, the child is a potential vector of tumah. Right. Our suffix is not the nafkamina is not the child. The nafkamina is the dough, but the underlying suffix is about the child. There's no underlying suffix about the history of the dough. There's an underlying suffix of Metzius about the kid. So how could it be that I really want to know something? What I don't know about is the child Tamei or Tahor. And I'm basically posking on that based on the chazaka about the dough, even though the fact that the dough is Tahor doesn't tell me anything. So how could it be that a chazaka that shelo al shorish hasafik, the chazaka of the dough has nothing to do with the root of the suffik. The actual root of the suffik is the behavior of the child. If we were applying, the rove does relate to the shorish hasafik. The rove is, well, let's talk about child psychology. Let's talk about what kids do. Most kids in this context would become tamid. Most kids would roam around, rummage around, and find varm tamim to touch and thereby become tamid. The rove does relate to the shorash asafik. And l'chor rove always relates to the shorash asafik. Whereas chazaka is once again seems to be very powerful. I can use a chazaka even though it has nothing to do with underlying suffik, it could still save the day. It's still relevant. Why? Why? So how do you make sense of this? Rove works, chazaka works even in contradictory ways. Chazaka works even when it doesn't really have to do with the factual question at all. It just speaks to the practical nafkamina, but it doesn't answer the underlying question. On the other hand, it loses to rove. On the other hand, it can't predict the future. Is chazaka stronger than rove? Is chazaka weaker than rove? It seems like chazaka is really strong, and yet when you put it up against a rove, suddenly it folds and collapses and loses to rove. So which one is it? So B'Shem Shkap suggests, in Shari Yosher, Rabbi Schechter quotes this and develops it very beautifully, the end of Simon Chavches Vedik Vatzon, something that several of you had begun to think about over the course of the last couple of mornings done, which is that what a rove does is it tells me, I don't know what the facts are, so a rove says, look, you should assume that here are the facts. Probably the kid touched the stuff. Probably this boy is not a star. Probably this meat is kosher. Probably, here's what you should assume the facts are. But if I know that the dough was tameh 10 minutes ago, should I assume, therefore, probably it's still tar? Why do I care that it was tar 10 minutes? What does that do for me? But it was, I know it was tar 10 minutes ago. That's irrelevant because a kid touched it and he may or may not be tameh. So what does it help me? That it used to be tar. So Shimon says, rove actually seeks to tell me what the facts are. We have a suffix, we don't know. The Noda Yehuda is trying to figure out who's the merchant and who's the wagon driver. We don't know the facts. We're trying to figure out the facts. So statistics can help me try to figure out the facts. Probably these are the facts. A rogue can tell me, here's what you should assume the facts are. We don't know for sure. Even though for sure, the chances are pretty good that the facts are the kid is telling me. Chances are pretty good the facts are the child is not a SARS. The chances are pretty good that the facts are the loan was not yet repaid because we have a rogue. Chazaka doesn't tell me what the facts are. How would it? Says Rabbi Shimon. Why would it? Just because that's the way it was yesterday? Yeah, it may have changed. I don't know what the chances are. So the point, it's not a rogue. It's an open-ended question, maybe 50-50. So Rav Shimon says, the fact that something was that way yesterday doesn't tell me it's probably this way today. It doesn't tell me what the facts are at all. Chazaka doesn't tell me I'm getting rid of the suffix. Chazaka says, you don't know what to do, you have a suffix, so you might just say, okay, throw up your hands. Look, suffix rabban l'chumra. So you see, suffix rabban l'chumra, suffix rabban l'gula. Okay. But the Gemara Chulin tells us, and the Chumash reveals to us in Parshas Metzora that there's another way of dealing with suffix. When you don't know what the facts are, here's what you do. When you have a suffix, you don't know what the underlying facts are, continue acting the way you used to act. Continue acting on the same assumptions, the same operating assumptions, maintain your operating assumptions. Continue to act with the same status quo that you had up until now. That's the chiddush of Chazaka. I don't know if the kid is tamei or tahar. I don't know if the dough is tamei. I do not know. I don't know. Here's what you do when you don't know. All of a sudden, a lot of things start to make sense. So for instance, going back to Shnei Shvilim, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Yud, the Mishnah Taurus, the fifth pattern. Right? The Reuven walked on road A and Shimon walked on road B. So we want to know why the Tanam just worried Midrabanan. Oh, someone who doesn't understand Halakha will say, oh, this sounds so silly. How can you tell them both tar? Forget about it. It sounds silly. It seems like really. Why does it indeed make sense? Why indeed isn't it silly? Isn't it contradictory? You're telling them both that they're tar? And the answer is no, we're not telling them they're both tar. Or to be more precise, we're not actually, and here's with nuance, it falls into place. I'm not telling Reuven you did not walk over a mace. I'm not telling Shimon you did not walk over a mace. It's not a rove. It's not, to use Reb Shimon Shkop's language, unlike a rove, which is a mevarer, it actually gives me beer, it actually gives me clarity what the facts are. Chazaka doesn't tell me what the fact. Chazaka doesn't tell me, Reuven, you never walked over a maze when you walked on road one. How would I know that? 50-50 chances that he did. Chazaka doesn't tell me, Shimon, you did not walk over a maze when you went down road number two on Tuesday. How could Chazaka tell me that? We have no idea. Chazaka is just a rule of behavior. It's a hanaga. Here's what you do when you don't know the facts. So what we're really saying, when we tell Reuven you're tar, we tell Shimon you're tar, we're not saying, Reuven, you did not walk over a mace, and Shimon, you did not walk over a mace. Those are false statements. Or at least, one of them is a false statement. And we have no basis to say he didn't walk over a mace. The truth is, Reuven, I do not know whether or not you walked over a mace. And therefore, since you don't know and I don't know whether or not you walked over a maze, you should continue to act. Here's how you practically handle your suffix. Because you don't know what your facts are, and we have no beer on the facts, we have no way of determining. If we do a CAT scan, we do some other scan or excavation, we find the maze. When we find no maze, then we'll know. But until we know what the data are, until we know what the facts are, as long as you're suffix, you should continue to act as you were acting up until then. That's the halachic rule of thumb. That's the halachic rule of practice. It's a hanaga. Here's what you do. I don't know whether or not you walked over mace, and therefore continue to act tahar the same you were acting tahar up until now. And you, Shimon, you also don't know whether or not you walked over mace, and therefore you too should continue acting tahar as you were acting tahar in the past. That's chazaka. And that's why min ha-Torah, I should really be able to tell both of them face to face, that they're both, not that they're both tahar, but they should both continue to act tahar. I'm not telling them neither of you walked over a mace. I'm saying since for each of you I don't know whether they walked over a mace, therefore you should continue to act tar as you did up until now. You should be mamshich your previous hanhaga. You should continue your previous way of conducting yourself. That's why Tosa says, on the one hand, min haTorah, I should always be able to tell them your tar and your tar. And on the other hand, if they were to both shake the rabbi's hand or both touch the same bowl of dough, now they've created tumah. Because it's not that we're pretending that neither one walked over the mace. Of course we know that one of them walked over the mace. And we're telling them, since you don't know what your facts are, here's what you do. But it's not, the chazakah is not dealing with the underlying factual question. It's leaving that factual question untouched. We don't have a solution. I don't have anything to say about the factual question. It remains a suffix. The suffix remains. And therefore, here's what you do. If you have a chazakah, that if you had some prior knowledge, so keep the same practice you had from before the suffix. If you had no prior knowledge, that's called a suffix with no chazakah, then the rule is, okay, it's just a plain suffix. So if it's the rice of slochumra, if it's drabah, it's lechula. But chazakah is like a higher level hanaga than mere suffix drabah, lechula, suffix drabah, lechula. But Rove is actually dealing with the underlying factual question. Was the loan paid or was the loan not paid? Did the child touch the dead mouse? Did the child not touch the dead mouse? What are the facts? I say, well, the chances are 80% chances that that's what happened. I'll assume that's what happened. The Rove was actually Mavara, the Suffolk. So it's not that Ruba Vachazaka, Ruba Adiv, because the Rove is stronger than Chazaka. It's not that Rove is stronger than Chazaka or Chazaka is stronger than Rove. And that was part of our question here. We seem to have a stira. On the one hand, in Gittin and in Kiddush, it seems that Chazaka is weaker than Rove. But on the other hand, in Psachim and a different angle on Kiddush, it seems like Chazaka is super strong. And the answer is, it's not that Chazaka is stronger than Rove or Rove is stronger than Chazaka. What's stronger, an ocean or a rocket ship? It's a silly question. They're two different types of things. What's stronger, Rove or Chazaka? They're different things. They work in different ways. They're different types of tools. You know, what's more effective, a hammer or a screwdriver? Depends what you're trying to do. For some things, hammers work better. For other things, screwdrivers work better. Sometimes even use hammers and screwdrivers together to chisel. Okay, I'm not sure we're going down that part of the motion. But coming back to Rove and Chazaka, it's not that the answer is, on the one, this is a question, is Chazaka weaker than Rove, Chazaka stronger than Rove? Neither. Chazaka is what you do when you have a suffix. Rove eliminates a suffix. So Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adiv doesn't mean that Rove has like 5 points and Chazaka is only 3 points, so Rove wins and Chazaka loses. It's that Chazaka work. When does Chazaka work? What does Chazaka do? Again, it tells you what to do when you don't know the facts. If you're stuck not knowing the facts, here's what you do. Here's how you behave. It's a hanhaga. It's a rule of behavior, rule of practice when you have a suffix. But Rove eliminates the suffix. Rove answers the suffix. Rove tells me, don't wonder, here's the answer. Rove tells me, gives me facts. So, Ruba Lechazaka, the Chachamim say, once you have a Rove, so then there is no longer any suffix. So, of course, I don't say Chazaka. Not because it's a wrestling match between Rove and Chazaka, and Rove wins. It's once there's a Rove, Chazaka no longer applies. Chazaka applies when there is a lasting suffix. But Rove eliminates the suffix. So there's no longer any suffix. So the Chazaka is irrelevant. Chazaka is irrelevant because it's Rove. So that's what the Chachamim say. Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adiv. I'm convinced that the kid is Tameh. If I didn't know whether the kid was Tameh or not, then I would use Chazaka, of course. I didn't know if the kid is Tameh or not, so So therefore, when the kid touched the dough, now I don't know whether the dough is tamei or not. Okay, so then follow chazaka. But if I'm convinced the kid is tamei, why am I convinced the kid is tamei? Because I have a rove, and rove is mevare. Rove tells me, here are the facts. One way of putting that, perhaps, is that rove is like a halachic margin of error. In other words, I don't, even if the 80% chances, maybe not, but the halacha says, assume that those are the facts. Assume that those are the facts. We'll treat 80% as though it were 100%. We take that as that's fact. I'm convinced that the kid is coming. So if I'm convinced that over the last year or two, month or two, week or two, whatever it is, this child did touch a sheretz or an avela, okay. And then I know that 5 minutes ago, while the adult in the room was out of the room, the child touched the dough. So we're done. I, chazaka, was chazaka help me? Chazaka is if I don't know what the story is. I know what the story is. I'm now convinced that the kid was tamei, and therefore he was matam in the dough. There's no suffix tum on the dough. It's a badai. Rove makes it a badai. So then, it's not that rove is more powerful than chazaka. It's once you have a rove, chazaka is no longer relevant. Chazaka only applies when there's a lasting suffix. Rove gets rid of the suffix. And by the way, that also deals with the internal kasha. We were wondering, let's start to pull the pieces together. Kiddush and Daf Pei. We said, what's shot? Ruba miuta kamanda leise dami. And the Chachamim say, the grove wins. Why? Because it says, though the miut doesn't exist. We say, what does that mean? The miut doesn't exist? Of course it exists. 80%, 20%. Why are you ignoring the facts? What's the shot? Nah, once you appreciate what rove is, what chazak is, we didn't say that the miya doesn't exist. We said it says though the miya doesn't exist. To quote the Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen in very famous shmuz, it's only a ke'ilu. We didn't say the miya doesn't exist. We said miuta keman deleise dami. It's as though it doesn't exist. What do you mean? Let's just see what those words mean. Because those words are saying exactly what Rav Shimon Shkap was saying. It's as though the miyut doesn't exist means if you have 80% yes and 20% no, imagining as though the 20% is gone means I know the facts, right? There's no longer any suffering. That's exactly what miyut tikkun ma'alei dami. Miyut tikkun ma'alei dami means that a rov is a mevar, that the halacha was koveya based on all the makaros that the Gemara has in Chul and Daf Yud Aleph. The nature that gzeiros hakos, the nature of the kiddush that we rely on rov. And is that Rove tells me, consider this to be the facts. Ki'ilu, the 20%, is non-existent. Consider an 80% chance as though it's 100%. Consider a Rove as though it were the facts. That's what the Torah is megal to me. I have the right to ignore the miyut. Of course, factually there is a miyut. But the halacha, I wouldn't have known this on my own, but the chiddush of Rove is that rov is mevar, that's the halachic margin of error. That if you have 80% chances, I could say that's good enough. That's good enough for me to consider though it's 100%. Rov is mevar, and that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Oh! So the Chachamim is saying, you think I'm on delay, say Dami. We consider the meat as though it isn't there. In other words, that the nature of the chiddush of rov is that it is a mevarer. So that's why chazak is irrelevant. That's why the Chachamim say that rov chazak would be adif. Because Ro works as a Mavar, and therefore the Chazaka is irrelevant. Rav Meir, on the other hand, disagrees. I don't think the Gemara has this line in Kiddushin, but the Rishonim do. Rav Meir holds Muta Kamanda Isaydami. Rav Meir holds a Muta. It's as though it does exist. I mean, it's as though it does exist. It does exist. Now we understand. No. Yutav Gandalese Dami, the Shit Bachachamim, is that Rove is a Mavar. And therefore, if the Chacham hold that 80% chances are considered fact, there's no suffix, so the Chazak is irrelevant. While Rav Meir holds, no. 80% chance is 80% chance. But there's still 20% against it, meaning it's not a Mavar. Rove is also merely a hanhaga. Rove is also just a rule. It's just a rule for how to behave. So there's no reason for a mayor to assume that rove should be a stronger rule than chazaka. And the machlokas with mayor and the chachamim going back to Masachas Gittin, at least to a little bit of Masachas Gittin, we're not ready for everything just yet. But if we're wondering, we'll go back to the Gemara's Kasha. We're not yet ready to go back to Gemara's Tavis. Going back to the Gemara's Kasha, we're wondering, what's the mayor, Chayesh Lemusa, he ignores the rope. What? He doesn't hold of all those Makoros of rope? And especially, not trying to point out, what do you mean? The mayor also holds a rope. The mayor is not worried about the miut by the Mikias Hanod. The mayor is the one Tana, the only one of his contemporaries, who is actually very comfortable to rely on the robe. He's the only one who's not worried about Shelly Yibaka Hanod. So it's not like the mayor doesn't hold a robe. We see that he holds a robe by Shelly Yibaka Hanod. He's the one who's not worried about Shelly Yibaka Hanod. It doesn't seem as though the mayor doesn't hold of all those makoros a robe. And if the answer is, of course the mayor holds a robe. We didn't say he doesn't hold a robe. We said it's chayish lemiuta. We didn't say he doesn't hold a robe. We said he's worried about the mir. Yeah, because the mayor holds miuta, come on, the isa dami. Which doesn't mean that the robe is useless. Robe works, but the mayor has a different, weaker perspective on robe. It doesn't actually tell me the facts. No. I don't say ki'ilu, I know. It's just a rule. Chazak is one rule, and Rav is another rule. But for a mayor, neither one actually solves the question. So that's why, if you now begin to think what we've seen about the mayor agrees that Rav has purchase. The mayor agrees that Rav has power, but he's skeptical of Rav, specifically in what context? When it is against the chazak. When a rove is against the chazaka, then the mayor says, well, hold on a second. Rove works, but so does chazaka. And I, says the mayor, unlike the chachamim, I don't see rove as being like a different type of a tool, a mevarer, that therefore sort of sweeps the chazaka away because now it's all on the stuff. No, the mayor says, I think rove is also just a hanaga. Music among the isay dami for a mayor. It's true 80% chance is like this, but 20% chance like that. So, it's not that we consider I know the facts. One of the rules of behavior is if it's probably that way, so then treat it as, you know, act accordingly. But it's still a suffix for a mayor. So that's why whenever you have a Roe versus Chazaka, the mayor says 1 second. That's what happened in the Kiddushin Daf Pei. That was Roe versus Chazaka. And that's what happens in our sugya. Yes, Rebbeinu says it's very nice as a robe, but it's also chazakas to contend with. So we're not so ready. It's very nice to have a robe. The chachamim say they have a robe, ignore all the chazakas. But Rebbeinu says I have a robe, I have a chazaka, I'm chayish lemiuta, meaning I don't see robe as a mevarer. Rov is a mevarer according to the Chachamim. A rov is a hanaga according to our mayor. Whereas Chazaka is a hanaga according to everybody. So now, all of a sudden, all these pieces fall into place. Now that we sort of developed it organically, let's go step by step through all the nafkaminas. Yeah, question.
Would Rav Meir hold a rove if there's no chazaka?
Yes, exactly. Rav Meir would hold a rove if there's no chazaka. Just like we all hold a chazaka if there's no rove. It's a rule, it works. But Rav Meir thinks that it doesn't operate the way Chacham thinks it operates. And therefore, specifically, exactly. And therefore, once it gets into a car crash, if it's on a collision course with a chazaka, Rav Meir says, who told you the rove wins? I think that the chazaka wins.
Perhaps it would.
Yeah.
According to Shimon, how do you explain the Gemara meaning robe if Hazaka robe adit? It's not according to the way of Shimon explaining it. It's not that robe is adit. There's no Hazaka, so then what does it mean adit? It's not better if the Hazaka is not there.
Good. Okay. So thank you for segueing into a straight line. Now that we sort of unpacked unpack the svaras, and things sort of grew naturally from case to case. Now let's reorganize. I think in case everything's a little bit hazy, sounds good, but it's a little bit hazy. Thank you for segueing us into organizing this in a step by step, line by line, nafkamina by nafkamina, 1, 2, 3, 4 situation. Let's talk about all the different features and nafkaminas that we had, and we'll see how they all fall into place. Number one was Ruba v'chazaka. What do you do in a case where you have a contradiction between Rov and Chazaka? So the Chachamim say that Rov, practically speaking, here's the answer to your question, practically speaking, Ruba Adif. In other words, Rov tells me that I should treat the dough as Tameh, Chazaka tells me to treat the dough as Tahar, and practically speaking, how do I paskin? Using the principle of Rov. Ruba Adif, I use the principle of Rov, say the Chachamim, and I say Tameh. Why? Why is that true? So that's, if you want, nafkamina number one, and the fact that, in no particular order, but let's just organize it this way. Nafkamina number one, and the fact that for the Chachamim, Rov is a Mevarer, but Chazaka is a Hanaga. So nafkamina number one is that's why Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adi. Nafkamina number two. Here's something we didn't yet talk about. That's why for Haggadah Sasidos, for telling, predicting the future, which came up in Gittin Daf Chavchas, so Rov, it doesn't matter past, present, or future. Those are the facts. Those are the facts. What do I care? That would have been our kasha. I mean, you know, if it works, it works. So yeah, absolutely. I can speak meaningfully based on statistics about the past, the present, or the future. If you're actually dealing with fact, so it doesn't matter past, present, or future. But if you deal with a mere hanhaga, so the rule, the Torah is only, it's not a natural svara. The Torah is magala, a rule of practice, a rule of behavior. If you don't know what the facts are, what's the rule? So maybe the rule just was, as you see from a Torah, continue to act as you've been acting up until now. Okay, continue to act as you've been acting up until now. But no one ever told you that you could go even a step further and continue acting in the future as you are acting now or anything like that. Continue acting as you've been acting up until now. So, because Chazaka isn't really logical, it's just a rule. So, it's limited. And the Xeris HaKazos is only Megalas. You can project from the past into the present. But now you can project from the present into the future. On the other hand, so this one is like a weakness of Chazaka, Ruv Chazaka Ruadit, practically. In terms of the future also, it's practically a weakness of Chazaka. Here's a power of Chazaka, a very powerful point of Chazaka. It can even work the Makom Tarti Desasrei. The Chazakas, at least in principle, can even work in contradictory ways. Shnei Shvilin. I can say, you're tar. How could that be? It makes no sense. Midrabanan, we're worried about Chuch v'Tlula. But why does it actually make sense? The answer is, it makes sense because Chazaka isn't telling you what the facts are. You're right. It would be contradictory to say Reuven didn't walk over Mace and Shimon also didn't walk over Mace. Those two statements are logically incompatible. But what is compatible is to say, I don't know whether you walked over a maze, and I don't know whether you walked over a maze. True, you're both b'metzias suffik. And therefore, you don't know what your facts are, and therefore here's what you should do. You don't know what your facts are, and therefore here's what you should do. So once you understand the lumdus of Chazaka, it's not logically contradictory, but it does look funny. And if you don't have the sophistication to appreciate what's going on, that sounds ridiculous. So the casual outside observer may say, this doesn't make sense to me. And therefore, Mishrabanan, Mishum Chuchavet Lula, sometimes we can't give the true psak, which is Shneihem Tahorim. But if you want to understand why Min HaTorah that's a din, why even sometimes Mishrabanan, practically speaking, that's a din, and why we understand it, the answer is because we're not actually saying anything contradictory. We're not saying you didn't come in contact with the mace, and neither did you. We're saying you may or may not have, and you may or may not have. And here, therefore, since you're each basafik, factually, here's what you do practically. So now we understand why chazaka can work the makam tartisash, because it is a mere hanaga. Practically, in the case of tartisash, it gives a more applicability and more versatility. And here's another nafkamina in which chazak has more impact because it's a hanaga, and that is shelo al shorosh hasafek. A rove is always going to address itself to what the factual question actually is. If the actual underlying unknown is, did the child become tamei or tahor, the only rove that's relevant is about child behavior, about the child, about the, like a rove about, well, how much do kids rummage around, a rove about how likely is it for there to be avos hatumah accessible to children. The only roves that are relevant are the roves that speak to the shorosh hasafek. But chazaka doesn't. I have a shtafik about the child, but I'm passing the shayla based on a chazaka on the isa. How could it be that the shorosh hasafek is about the kid's behavior, but the chazaka is on the cheskatar of the isa? What does it have to do with the shorosh hasafek? The answer is absolutely nothing. But it doesn't matter, because chazaka isn't dealing with the safek. Chazaka is leaving the safek alone. They talk, it's the safek. We don't know what the story is, okay. I don't know what the status is. We don't know. Here's what you do. So that's why, as I pointed out before, chazaka actually is going to be, while rove we would expect to find at the root of the suffix, the actual fact which is in doubt, the chazaka, if anything, we would expect to find on the practical nafkamina. The actual shaila was on the dough. Yeah, because that's where the chazaka, and that's where chazaka is going to come in. Here's how you were dealing with the dough up until now. Continue the same hanhaga with the dough as before. And the makam tarik to disaster, right? Let's fit in, let's call this number 5. Let's fit in number 4. Another nafkamina is that it leaves, chazaka leaves it as a suffix. That also came up in by the Shnei Shvilin. On the one hand, chazaka works even though there's a contradiction, but if they both touch the rabbi, Reuven and Shimon, if Reuven and Shimon both touch the bowl of cookies, now all of a sudden it is tamei. So on the one hand, the chazak can tell each one of them individually continue to act tar, but doesn't actually solve the suffix. And therefore, if the two overlap, they will be matame. So that's a way in which chazak is weaker. So sometimes it presents as being very strong, sometimes it presents as being very weak. But it's all consistent, because again, it's not as shallow as, oh, is it stronger as a weak? What, is this like a football game? Like, my daddy is stronger than your daddy? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something much more nuanced. Chazaka is one type of tool. Rope is a different type of tool. So each tool has its mechanism, and each tool, therefore, will have spaces where it works well and spaces where it doesn't work well, based on what its mechanism is. So chazaka is not going to be successful against rove. Chazaka is not going to be successful predicting the future. Chazaka is not going to be successful at eliminating the suffix. On the other hand, because it's a hanaga, it doesn't actually address the suffix. On the other hand, chazaka will be very successful even in a context which is contradictory. And chazaka will be very successful even when it's not really addressing the shorosh hasafik. And the language of keman deleisei or keman deisei, dummy, that language is now beautiful. Now we appreciate that language that seems so difficult and so odd. Well, as though the mir isn't there, the mir is there. What does that mean? No, I'll drop it. The Gemara is mamish doing exactly what you would want and expect it to do. On location, it is explaining the lumdus of the two sheaves. That's exactly what it just did. Chama hold ruva chazaka ruva adif. That's right, because the mi'ez as though it doesn't exist mean that rov is a mevarav. The mayor disagrees because he thinks rov is not mevarav. Rov is also merely hanhaga, and therefore there's no reason to assume it's going to be any stronger than chazaka. So this is a core understanding again. Let's recap what we have and then talk about next steps. This is the bulk of the sugya right here. Let's recap what we have and talk about next steps, which will be happening not right now. We developed, starting from the beginning, we opened the sugya last week by talking about the idea of Taras HaSfeikas in general. That most of halacha deals with specific mitzvahs. What are the rules? What's the kosher lulav? And what are the rules for what type of damage do you have to pay for? And what are the rules of what constitutes a nevela that's metame v'magu v'masa? And what are the rules for what constitutes a valid get? And so on and so forth. The bulk of halacha is about particular pirtei halacha, particular mitzvahs, particular areas of halacha. But then you have a couple of meta, you know, areas of meta halacha, klolei hadinim, one of which is Torah Sasfekas. How does halacha deal with, in any given area, be it Gittin or Bava Kama or a Halos, how do you deal with not knowing all the facts? Yeah, the facts like this, the Gittin is Kasha. Facts like this, the Gittin is Tar. Facts like this, the Get is Kasha. Facts like this, the Get is not Kasha. But how do I deal with not knowing the facts? So that's this world of Torah Sasfekas. In this world of Torah Sasfekas, as we said, the halacha is Megala to us, a whole toolbox of tools that we have for dealing with lack of knowledge. And there's two edim, and there's one edim, and there's shtar, and there's cheskas habatim gimel shanim, and there's migo, and the list goes on and on and on and on, and there's rov, and there's chazaka d'meikar. And over the last couple of days, we had a chance to, number one, see where each of those come from, rov and chazaka d'meikar, and begin to appreciate how they work, and notice how they operate in a variety of contexts. And what emerges is an appreciation that, if you like phrasing things in terms of chakiras, yesh lachar, if any given tool in your Taras HaSeikas toolbox, is it actually being mevar the suffix, or is it merely a klal hanaga? Is it actually telling you, we got rid of the suffix, here are the facts? Or is it just telling you the suffix remains, the suffix endures, here's what you do when you don't know what the facts are? Specifically, Rav Shimon suggests that chazaka d'meikara is a hanhaga, which makes a lot of logical sense and fits a tremendous number of data points. While rov, he thinks, for the chachamim, who we paskin like, rov is a bir. Rov is a bir, rov is a mevar, chazaka is a hanhaga, and a whole slew of nafkaminas. So far we discussed 5 nafkaminas. It's why Ruva Chazaka Ruva Adif for the Chachamim, but not for Rabbi Meir. It's why Chazaka does not predict the future, and it's why Chazaka leaves a suffix. In the case of Shnei Shvilin, they both remain suffix Tameh, and therefore if they both touch the same thing, it is Vadai Tameh. And Tosus was very, very blunt about that. With the Chiyav Nisi B'nei Shamayim, it's Vadai Tameh, the suffix is there. On the other hand, Chazaka can work even when compared to the Sasri, Nafkin number 3, and Chazaka can work even when it's non the Shar Shasafik, number 5, because those are cases where the fact that Chazaka is not factually oriented becomes, practically speaking, a strength. It explains elegantly the language of Kamandale Seidam, Mutik Mandale Seidam, Mutik Mandale Seidam. Ad Khan, what we spoke about so far, a general global Chakir in the world of Taras HaSfeikas, of whether any given rule is a bir or a chazaka, and the argument that for the chachamim, rov is a bir while chazaka is a hanaga, and 5 nafkaminas, and a line of Gemara that sings with this in mind. There are another 1 or 2 nafkaminas, which maybe we'll explore now during the Seder, and maybe tomorrow and Shir, and there's one other major direction we want to go in. Because you remember that we had started with Gittin Daf Beis. to which he come back. We're trying to understand what's going on in Gittin Dav Beis. So far, we've done, remember we had kashas in the Gemara's Teretz. And remember, again, the Gemara said, what's pshat according to Rava? Fanechtem is all about being mevar that it gets l'shma. So what does it help to have one? If you want to have Eidim, you need to have two. So Gemara had gone through one answer, rejected it. And Gemara's second answer was, well, the reason I wanted enough was the whole need for one is only drop on. Why does it mean drop on? Because in the Torah, I'm good without anything. I have a robe of bikini. I, Reb Meir, the Gemara said, Reb Meir is not gonna work with a robe of bikini. The Gemara said, no, that Reb Meir is something even better. Stam Safri Didaini Migmer Gemir. So we had been bothered, what's Pshat Reb Meir? He rejects robe. Come on, do you say Dami? What does any of that mean? So then we begin to understand. Then the other question is, so how do you say Reb Meir's Teretz? Tos is the muta. What's going on there? So the direction which we're gonna go is, and again, we may see, and if you're looking in the Mar Makomas inside, just to identify where we've been and where we're going. So we've been so far in Chalakim Aleph and Beis of the Mar Makomos, although we have not yet, and we saw that specifically within Chalak Beis, Chazak and Meikara, we saw Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, Gittin Chav Ches and Lam and Gimel, Kedushin Daf Pei, Psachim Daf Yud, 1, 2, 3, those gave rise to a whole slew of Nafkaminas and Birur Hanhaga. If you look in the Mar Makomos, you'll see that we did not get to the Dalet parentheses. That will be another Nafkamina, which you can fill in the Seder, and we will come to tomorrow. Another fascinating Nafkamina in Chazak Yadin Hanhaga. And then, the next step, the remaining step, is part Gimel of the Mar Makomos, is to appreciate more about Rov. We're very focused now on Chazakah. I understand that Chazakah is a Hanaga, and what that means, Lahakah, Lahachme, practical kulos to practical chumras, all which flow from Chazakah being a Hanaga. That's been our focus today. What we'll shift to, for the end of the Sugya, is to think more about Rov being a Mevarer, which, as we noted, is actually Machlokas HaKanah. Chacham hold Rov as a Mevarer, and we do pass that at Chachamim, we do pass in Ruva Chazak, Ruva Adif. Next time you find a Tinek Betzara Issa, so the dough is Tameh, practically speaking, Pasman the Chachamim. But Remei actually disagrees. So next time, over the course of Seder today, and next time, we'll focus on the last chunk of the Mar Makomos, Psachim Daf Tes. I mean, going back to Tosis Kedushin as well, to appreciate more about Rov. A little more nuance in the world of Rov will allow us perhaps to appreciate Rov more, to appreciate specifically the Shita of Reb Meir more, and to appreciate, finally, to come back and fully understand, get in that base, understand what was the Gemara saying when it said, Stam, Safri, Didaini, Migra, Brimini. So we, Baruch Hashem, accomplished a lot, a whole tools for understanding new categories of thought for the world of Taras HaSfeikas, Birur, Hanhaga, specifically applying to Rov and Chazaka with the so far 5 different afkaminas. A lot falls into place. Potential for number 6, a toast in the bottom of Chulin Yud Alf and Alf, Ayein Sham. And we're moving as well towards looking to Psachim Daftes. And you'll find that Psachim Daftes, as you open it up back downstairs in the Beis Medrash, Psachim Daftes should be, first you just want to work with what the Gemara means. Gemara requires work just reading it well. But once you understand what the Gemara means, Kishalatzmo, you should see if it's comparable to any Gemara you've learned so far in this Sugya of Taras HaSfeikas. You might find it very similar to a different Sugya, a different Masechta, or you might find it's actually very opposed to a different Gemara, a different Masechta. And that should give you some food for thought. Let's head down to this Benish.